Well, friends, good morning. It is so good to see each and every one of you as we gather for worship here at Reveille United Methodist Church. If I haven't met you, my name is Pete Moon, one of the pastors here, and we want to take this opportunity also to welcome those who are worshiping with us online. You are an important part of our time here together, not only today, but throughout the week. We are glad that all of you are here. As we enter into our worship time this morning, we encourage you to make sure you look into the bulletin. There are a whole lot of things that are happening in the life of our church. Let me just highlight a few of those. First of all, most of you are probably aware that we, the United Methodist denomination, will be moving towards what we call General Conference. That will begin in 2 weeks. That's the place where all the big decisions of the United Methodist Church are made. A lot of things are on the agenda for that conference, and we recognize that's on the radar of many of us. And as a result, we're going to have a special listening session. We're going to have an information session. That's going to be scheduled for Tuesday night, May 7th. That's just a couple days after General Conference. If you want to put that on your calendar, we'd love to have you. It'll be a chance to hear and have a conversation if you are interested or would like to inquire about that. I also want to say something about a very special program that's going to occur here on April 28th at 4:30, a program called All Good Gifts. Daniel and others in our music program have been working extremely hard with a very special program that will feature our youth and their various gifts, whether it be music or art or dance or other performance options. And they're going to be here to do that, and I invite and encourage you to come and join us. That'll be 4:30. On April 28th. We're putting aside our Sunday afternoon activities that day so that we can focus on that day. I also want to say a word of thanksgiving to each and every one of you. We did something great over this past Easter and Lent. You know, we've been working over the years to dedicate our Christmas Eve offerings and our Easter and Lenten offerings to different things. This year, friends, you just knocked it out of the park. We raised $20,000 out of our Easter offering, and because of that, $10,000 is going to go to support United Methodist Family Services, and another $10,000 is going to go to Westview on the James. Because of your generosity, there will be youth and children's lives who will be changed. I just want to thank you for stepping up all through. Come on, make it. That is just awesome. There's going to be kids who go to camp because of you. And it's just a great thing that all of you have done, and I want to say a word of thanks to all of you. Finally, just a word of introduction to our service today. We're going to be taking a walk today. We're going to take a walk on the road to Emmaus with Jesus to find him in all the mysterious places of life, whether those times are good or those are bad. Stephen's going to lead us in a message around all of that. But in all of that, we want to say we are glad that you are here, and the Lord be with you. Thank you. Amen. Let's stand together for our call to worship. We need your presence on the long road, Lord. Like the disciples walking the road to Emmaus, we are in need of your company. Jesus, stand among us in your risen power, and let this time of worship be a hallowed hour. Let us worship the Lord.
Let us worship the Lord by singing together hymn number 185, When Morning Gilds the Skies.
Indeed, may Jesus Christ be praised, because we come into this place knowing that our God is a God of grace and forgiveness and hope. At the same time, our God is holy and invites us into this place of worship, holding on to those things. Let us together offer the prayer of confession that is printed in your bulletin. Lord, you brought us through Easter when we rejoiced at the news of the resurrection of your Son, our Savior. You were with us in the upper room when we remained hidden out of our fears, sharing with Thomas our doubts and anxieties. Now you come to us on the road. You come to us in our everyday lives. But we are not always ready for you, and we do not always see you or feel your presence. We let so many things crowd in on our lives, and these intrusions blot out our awareness of your presence. Forgive our blindness and our stubbornness. Help us keep our hearts open to you, to see and tell the good things you have done in our lives. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Friends, the scriptures remind us that when we forgive our sins, God is faithful and just. When we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Friends, as a forgiven people, as a reconciled people, a people who have perceived and received the grace of Jesus, we invite you now to pass that on and offer and greet one another in the name of Jesus. And as we're doing that, we're going to invite our children also to come forward to have our time together up front.
Good morning, Reveille. As the children are coming forward, we're playing a little game of who am I? And Thomas was actually sitting here as a buddy. He was sitting with me as a buddy. And when I put this on, Thomas said, "Why do you have that on?" Well, today I came as hopefully a little bit of disguise, but at the same time, I think you all know who I am. Can somebody tell me who I am? Go, May Louise. She said Miss Karen, and that is right. So for all of you joining us online, my name is Karen Rios, and I am the Children's Ministry Director, and this time is for you, so please move a little closer to your screen. Today, Pastor Stephen is going to talk about the fact that when Jesus joined some friends walking along the road to Emmaus, but they didn't recognize him. And I bet that if I were wearing this out in Carytown, do you think that you would recognize me out in Carytown? Just on a normal day. What do you think? I see shrugged shoulders or whatever. Maybe you would, and maybe you wouldn't. I like to think that today I look like a movie star. But I will take these off and share with you that at some time, Jesus actually broke bread. And at the breaking of the bread, they all of a sudden were able to recognize him. The same way that I perhaps came disguised, and all of a sudden I take off the glasses and the scarf and you recognize me. Perhaps it was because Jesus had just died and they were not expecting to see him. But while we are here in this church and you are very easily recognizing that I am Miss Karen, if we were out on the street, maybe in Carytown, you might not have been able to recognize me because it would have been just a little bit different. I would have been in a different place, looking a little different. So why don't you pray with me? Heavenly Father, help us to see Jesus in everything we say and do. Amen. All right, you guys can go back to your seats.
Please join me in praying the prayer for illumination in your bulletin. Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Today's first scripture reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 27. You can find this on page 860 of your Bible. Here the resurrection has been revealed to the women who visited the tomb on the third day, but Jesus' other followers are still in doubt. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and beside all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
To help us reflect on this road to Emmaus, we're going to sing hymn number 309, On the Day of Resurrection. I'll sing the first stanza and then invite you to join me in also singing the first stanza and the rest. Would you please stand?
On the day of resurrection, to Emmaus we return, while confused, amazed, and frightened, Jesus comes to us. Comes to us unknown.
For our second scripture reading, we continue with the story of the walk to Emmaus. Luke chapter 24, verse 28 to 35. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come be with us and among us. Come as the fire and burn. Come as the wind to refresh and renew, convict, convert, and consecrate for our great good and for your greater glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This past week, I was lurking, not posting, but lurking on Facebook. And I noticed a comment that a friend had made about this past week. And the comment read that this is the best week in April. Now, it was a comment that was not based on the rare and miraculous solar eclipse that happened on Monday. It was a comment not based on the last games of March Madness this past week, when Caitlin Clark came up short in her quest for a championship and UConn won their sixth title as a university. It was a comment, though, that was based on this week being the Masters golf tournament. Now, I have to admit that the Masters is a special event. The tradition, the beauty of the golf course, the roars of the crowd, the drama that takes place on Sunday afternoons on the back nine, there is nothing like this golf tournament. And as I was watching the tournament a little bit on Friday, when all the wind was blowing and it was blustery and the course was playing very difficult, I was reminded about a quote about golf that says, "Golf is a good walk, spoiled." Now, when I play golf, it is a good walk, spoiled, and I also tend to walk where no one else has ever walked before. Golf can be a very difficult and stressful game, even for the best players in the world playing on one of the best courses of the world. And it makes me wonder this day, do you ever think about life as being a good walk spoiled? Is your life difficult, stressful, full of anxiety? As some of you may know, we have two walking groups here at Reveille that meet on Wednesday mornings at 7:30 and then also on Thursday afternoons at 4:30. We walk about 3 miles around the neighborhoods of Reveille, and it is a time when we get some good exercise and enjoy the beauty of creation away from our phones and screens, at least for a little while. But what I really enjoy about our walks is the fellowship that we have in our group. Walking is a good way to get to know someone. We talk about all sorts of things on our walks. We connect with each other. We check in with each other. And then at the end of our walk, we have a time of prayer together. One of the ways that I think can help us have a life where it is a good walk that is not spoiled is through connection. We all know what it means to have someone remember us, to have someone show up for us and with us in one form or another, in one way or another, especially during a difficult time. In seminary, I was taught that people may not remember what you say, but they will always remember if you are there. Presence matters. It matters in life when we make connections with one another, and it matters in life when we make connections with Jesus. Today, we are focusing on Christ's presence. Christ's presence on that first Easter, and Christ's presence with us here and now. And as we talk about Christ's presence, we turn from the Gospel of John, which we talked about last Sunday, to now the Gospel of Luke. Here is the scene. Easter morning is over. The tomb is empty, and the women who came to the tomb first have seen that Christ's body is gone. They have passed the news on to the other disciples, and Peter came to witness for himself the empty tomb. For those present at that first Easter, they were filled with confusion, fear, disbelief, amazement, and who can blame them? Resurrection is entirely unnatural. It is not something that we expect, and it can be something hard to believe. The disciples have all sorts of emotions, and for two of them, it is about to get really interesting. The story that we hear this day from Luke is known as the Walk to Emmaus. Later on that first Easter, two disciples are making a 7-mile walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and we really know nothing about these two disciples except one of them is named Cleopas. We can imagine that they are walking with heavy hearts, disappointment at what has happened to Jesus. Things have not turned out the way they expected or the way they thought. Now, we all have moments as we walk the road of life, and it is at moments of disappointment, and it is at these moments when our hearts are broken, when we carry a heavy burden, that we look for Christ, that we long for Him, or we look for something or someone to give us hope, to give us help. For these two disciples, they decided to go to Emmaus for help. Now, no one really quite knows where Emmaus is, but maybe that is not important. The writer Frederick Buechner interprets Emmaus in this way. He says, it is the place we go in order to escape. A bar, a movie, wherever it is where we throw our hands up and say, let the whole thing go hang. It makes no difference anyway. Emmaus is whatever we do and wherever we go to make ourselves forget that the world holds nothing sacred, that even the wisest and bravest and loveliest decay and die, that even the noblest people who have ideas about love and justice and freedom, that these ideas have always in time been twisted out of shape by selfish people for selfish ends. These two mysterious disciples are walking, escaping to this mysterious place, but all is not lost, for in the midst of their journey, a stranger comes near and joins them on the walk. The stranger appears seemingly out of the blue, and the three of them begin to walk and talk together, catching up on current events as people tend to do when they walk together. The stranger gives them a rebuke for their lack of faith and then opens up the scriptures, using Moses, the prophets, and all of the scriptures to interpret everything that has just happened. And the two disciples feel their hearts burning inside of them. Then they come near the village where the two disciples are going, and they ask the stranger to stay with them. The stranger accepts, and they sit down and eat. And the stranger takes the bread, blesses it, breaks it, and gives it to them. And suddenly the disciples' eyes are open and they recognize that it is Christ. Jesus is known to them in the breaking of the bread. Now there is a lot happening in the story, but there are a couple of things that stand out for me. The resurrection appearances of Christ always seem to amaze me. Christ just appears and disappears in random ways. He appears and walks through a door to reveal himself to doubting Thomas. And in our story today, he just shows up on this road leading to Emmaus. But we also learn today that Christ's presence is not always so random. For if we are looking for Jesus, he is always there in the reading of scriptures and in the breaking of the bread. In theological terms, we say that Christ is there in word and in sacrament. We have an open table here at Reveille where all are welcome at communion, and we encourage all to take communion as often as possible because Christ's presence, his grace, and his love are there in the breaking of the bread. The good news today is that Christ, I believe, appears to all of us as we walk on the road of life in one way or another, in one form or another, offering us his peace, his love, his presence. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, knew this to be true. As he wrestled with his faith, he found Christ in a town called Aldersgate, as the scripture was being read. And his heart was strangely warmed, and he felt the assurance that his sins were forgiven. The preacher Barbara Brown Taylor tells the story of a friend of hers who was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease in her 50s, and who surprised the people around her by growing more and more alive, even as she was dying. Her nervous system quit on her inch by inch. And after she lost the ability to speak, she took up watercoloring. And she made everyone who visited her watercolor too. And she posted the creations on her kitchen wall as though they were the masterpieces of the world. She continued team teaching workshops on faith, although she could only communicate by writing on a board and with her wide open, lit up face. And when she died, Barbara Brown Taylor said that she was as alive as anyone she had ever known. And then Barbara Brown Taylor would say that this is how God works, showing up and giving us life, even life in the midst of death. The story reminds me of Psalm 23, which says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Another preacher put it this way, by saying, if Easter is true, then you don't have to climb up to God. You do not need to think hard or to go through all sorts of mental gymnastics to be close to God. In bread and wine, God comes close to you. And you come to church on Sunday mornings, getting up, getting dressed, and coming here to seek God. Yet it is in the singing of the hymns, the worship with the community of faith, the reading of Scripture, that the living Christ is actually reaching out to you, if Easter is true. Do you believe? The good news that we hear this morning is that Christ meets all of us on the way as we walk the road of life. But there is one more interesting aspect of the story. Did you notice how the two disciples invited the stranger to stay with them? Christ may appear to us as we walk the road, but it also takes some hospitality, some intentionality on our part to accept him. The writer Henry Nouwen put it this way. He says, God is the good shepherd who looks for the lost sheep. And God wants to find us as much as we want to find him. The question is not, how am I to find God? But how am I to let myself be found by God? The question is not, how am I to know God? But how am I to let myself be known by God? Charlie Baber is a deacon in the United Methodist Church who writes a comic strip that is called The Wesley Brothers, about John, the founder of the Methodist Church, and about Charles, who wrote many of the hymns in our hymnal. And one of his strips is entitled Dark Night Run, which is based on a letter that Charles once wrote to his wife. And in the comic strip, Charles and John are not walking on the road, but they are running on the road together at night, in all their jogging gear with their headbands and sweat rolling off their foreheads. And Charles says, "It has been awful lately. I think I am having a dark night of the soul." And John answers him, "I am sorry." But Charles responds, "Don't be." Next to feeling Christ present, the most desirable state is to feel his absence, for it gives me the chance to pursue him all over again. God walked with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden long ago, and even though we kind of muck things up, he still walks with us on our journey of life too. In fact, God is not far from each one of us, helping life not to be a good walk spoiled, but a good walk. Do you feel his presence or his absence? Are you pursuing the Lord as much as the Lord is pursuing us? O thou who this mysterious bread did in Emmaus break, unseal the volume of thy grace, apply the gospel word, open our eyes to see your face, our hearts to know the Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I invite you now to stand as we sing the rest of hymn number 613, O Thou Who This Mysterious Bread, verses 1, 2, and 4. Response to the word read and proclaimed, let us now affirm our faith by saying together number 883, which is in the back of your hymnal. Let us affirm our faith together. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Friends, let us close our eyes, let us clear our minds, and go to the Lord in prayer. Holy and loving God, we thank you for allowing each and every one of us here this morning to be here in this church on this beautiful day, to be in Christian fellowship and in relationship with one another, and to learn how we can grow in a relationship with you. We thank you for the words that the Reverend Stephen Coleman shared today about a good walk. And we want to lift up and celebrate all of us who are walking good walks in our lives, whether that is a good walk to a new job or a good walk to graduation, whatever those blessings and whatever those things may be. We thank you so much for all the blessings and all the things that you've done for us, Lord. On that same note, we lift up our friends whose walks have not been so good and who have not been so great. We lift up our friends who have grown disillusioned in their walk. We lift up our friends who have been frustrated in their walk. We lift up our friends who have given up on the walk altogether. We lift up our friends whose walk is filled with war and conflict. On that same note, we lift up our friends overseas. As the war in Gaza and the war in the Middle East continues to go and be at strife, Lord, we lift up all the people who have found themselves displaced in this, all the people who have been orphaned. We pray for the widows. We pray for all the people who have lost loved ones, all the people who have lost friends, Lord. We lift up these prayers to you, Lord. We lift up these prayers, the ones that are named here in this space. And we also want to lift up in silence the ones that are on our hearts, minds, and spirits on this day. And let us do that now. Hear our prayers, O God. Hear our minds and our hearts and our spirits, Lord. Help us in those battles that we don't share publicly, the ones that we are fighting behind closed doors, because we know that we want to walk with you. We want to walk with you fully, with joy and with gladness. But we thank you for your grace that even in light of those feelings, whether they're there or they're not, that you still continue and want to desire to walk with us. We lift up our prayers and our voices to you, both the ones that were spoken here on this space, and also the ones that are quiet on our hearts, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, the one who taught us to pray saying these words: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, let us continue in our time of worship and give our gifts back to God in our offering.
Order my steps.
Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for this day and we thank you for this time. We pray that the gifts that we have all given will be able to bless all the people in all the ways that they need to be, so that they too may be able to find Jesus in their walk. We lift up these prayers to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the people of God all said, amen. Friends, let us join together in our final hymn on page 700, verses 1, 3, 4, and 5, Abide in Me.
As you walk the journey of life, if you are looking for some fellowship, we do invite you to join us for our walks on Wednesday morning or Thursday afternoon. There's also an opportunity to walk with a Reveille group this Saturday to benefit the Massey Cancer Center. You'll see information about that in your bulletin. As you go forth now, walking the path of life, trust and believe that God's power and presence is with you in days of joy and in days of struggle. Go now in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.